Okay, Psalm 72 is where we are, and this is a psalm of actually the coronation of King Solomon, written by his daddy David, by King David, when Solomon was anointed king over Israel. And what's really wonderful about this psalm is that this psalm reaches through the years to the coronation of King Jesus and all the attributes of a true king anointed by God, a king of justice, a king of compassion, a king of great ability and strength and power. And of course, we know that God promised David that the Messiah would sit upon his throne, as he said, "I will establish your throne forever," in chapter 8 of 1 Samuel. And sure enough, he's done that. And so the coronation of Solomon, and also things about our Jesus. And so there's many messianic prophecies in this psalm that we're going to point out to you. Before we go ahead and get into the reading of verses 1 through 5, would like to first of all show you verse 7 and verse 17, which you can see that this is not just about King Solomon, but reaching on for the beautiful ministry of Jesus, our Savior. Let's look at verse 7, Psalm 72, verse 7. "In his days," referring to the king in this psalm, shall righteousness flourish, an abundance of peace, so long as the moon endures." Now, Solomon left us pretty much before the moon was even close to not enduring. And here we see that this king that's talked about in verse 7 is a king that will bring peace so long as the moon endures. Now, one day after the reign of Jesus Christ upon the earth, the Bible says, Revelation 21, it tells us that there's a new heaven, there's going to be a new heaven and a new earth, and wherein dwells righteousness, and that also there'll be no need of sun or moon. This is also Revelation 21, sun or moon, because the light of Jesus, the light of the Lamb, will light up the whole place. And so you see, we see this rule and reign of Jesus upon the earth as long as the moon endures, and then the new heaven and new earth, where there'll be no need of sun nor moon, because the light of Jesus ruling and reigning forever in the heavenlies and the New Jerusalem will light up the place. And so this verse is definitely about the Messiah, the Lord Jesus, and the descendant of King David through Solomon. Let's go ahead and read verse 17 also. This is very telling also for Jesus. Verse 17, Psalm 72, "His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed." All nations shall call him blessed. And so there's no other name whereby men must be saved except the name Jesus Christ. And all nations, every nation on the face of the planet, shall call him blessed. And so this is also a messianic psalm about the reign of the kingdom of David, going through Solomon and then on through the generations. There's actually 14 generations until the carrying away of Babylon from David, and then 14 generations to the coming of Jesus. And so that's 28 generations later. Jesus came, and he is the king, and he will reign forever and ever. Hallelujah. Amen. Can I have an amen on that? Amen. And all nations shall call him blessed. So with that, let's go ahead and read about this coronation and take a look here. So it says in Psalm 72, verse 1, "Give the king thy judgments, O God, and thy righteousness unto the king's son. He shall," this is talking now about David and Solomon, having to do with the skipping stone of prophecy, talking about a certain period of history and then skipping ahead and talking about Jesus. And so we have David and his son Solomon. He shall judge thy people with righteousness and thy poor with justice. The mountains shall bring peace to the people and the little hills by the fruit of righteousness. In other words, even creation will just be blessed with the reign of Jesus. Remember that Jesus said if the people stopped praising him, the rocks would cry out. And today I was in my office with one of the assistant pastors, Pastor Steve Jewell, and it's so funny because we're talking about this and he said, well, it's like the Bible says, you know, even the crocs will cry out. And I said, no, bro, it's rocks, but you know, I'll bet the crocs will too. You know, because Shamu sure was. Oh, boy, I tell you. Anyway, I'll get to Shamu in a minute. So anyway, it talks about the beautiful justice of God. He'll be the righteous judge. And Solomon surely was filled with the wisdom of the Lord, wasn't he? God said to Solomon, anything you want, tell me what you want, and I'll give it to you. And he says, Lord, give me a judgment and wisdom to rule so great a people. God was so blessed with Solomon for saying that and not saying, give me riches or power and so forth. And so God blessed him with great wisdom. Yes, he did. Solomon was the wisest man that ever lived except the Lord Jesus Christ, because Jesus is and was God. Now, let's go ahead and read verse 5 again. They shall fear as long as the sun and the moon endures throughout all generations. We didn't read verse 4. He shall judge the poor of the people. He shall save the children of the needy. Oh, that's where the heart of the king, the true king of God is, the children of the needy, judging and bringing justice to the poor and the needy, and shall break in pieces the oppressor. God does not like oppressors. And he doesn't like folks that oppress the poor. He is really serious about that. And we see it all through the Bible. They shall fear you as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. Now, this is a very conquering verse. It's a very wonderful, comforting verse for you and I as Christians today. They shall fear you as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. There are folks on the planet today, and have been since time and beginning, that would snuff out the witness of the Lord and try to put down what God wants to say to all generations. But you know what? Nothing can stop God. You just plug a few holes and you think you got him stopped. And I say you as generic, you know, out there in the world. And the Lord breaks through all of a sudden with his thunder. Oh, he can thunder through, and every soul on the planet is witnessed to and shared in their hearts about the Lord, even through just observing creation, as we're told in Romans 1. They shall fear you as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. There have been many generations of certain folk that just decided that they're going to snuff out the Lord. They're going to take him away from the kids. They're going to take him away from being worshipped. And the Lord laughs in heaven, as it says in Psalm 2, at all of their little wimpy rebellions and wimpy trying to disclude him. He always will come through. It is so evident throughout the Bible. I'd like you to turn on this subject matter in Acts chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Let's take a look at Acts in the New Testament. Just keep your hand in Psalm 72, and we go to Acts in chapter 8, verses 1 through 4. Now, Saul is Paul, in chapter 8 of Acts, verse 1, it says, and Saul, he was changed, his name was changed to Paul. Later, he became the greatest apostle. But this time, he is a member of the Sanhedrin. He had letters from the Sanhedrin to torture Christians, to bring Christians in to be tried and killed for their faith. And as they stoned Stephen, the Sanhedrin, Saul was there also consenting to his death. This is chapter 8, verse 1 of Acts. And at that time, there was a great persecution against the church. And so folks thought they could stamp out the church. And so this great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem, and they were all scattered abroad throughout the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. And devout men carried Stephen to his burial and made great lamentation over him. And boy, they really must have thought they were on a roll now. They had killed Stephen, this great preacher, with stones, and everybody was running for their lives, and there was a great wild persecution going on. And then it says in verse 3, and for Saul he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison, and they were tried then for treason against the Jewish religion and put to death. But look at verse 4. Therefore, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. And you know, I just loved it when Pastor Chuck first shared this scripture with me years ago, and many of you might have been sitting in studies and heard it before, and it's just wonderful that God allowed the persecution, because everything's got to go over God's desk, to further the preaching of the word. This group in Jerusalem that were having church and having a great time having church now are scattered because of the persecution, and they went everywhere in all the lands that they were scattered to preaching the word. And the gospel was taken further and further out. And God's beautiful purpose was accomplished. And so no matter how hard the devil tries, it's just accomplishing God's purposes. And there we have it, and here we have it here. The same kind of thing we see in the book of Philippians. And I just want to show you a couple of scriptures there on this subject before we go to the next subject. But let's go to Philippians in the New Testament. And chapter 1 and verse 12 of Philippians. Now, remember, God eats peaches and cream. Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. God eats peaches and cream. That's only one way to memorize this, but there's other ways that other congregation members have, but that's what I always use. And so we go to the book of Philippians, and we look at verse 12. And this is the Apostle Paul in prison, writing about the joy of the Spirit in prison. He's in jail, and yet God is giving him great joy. And this is the reason for that joy. Philippians 1:12. I would that you should understand, brothers, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace. This is Caesar's palace, not in Las Vegas, but in Rome and in all other places. But you know, I just bet, and I know you know this, that there's Christians that work at Caesar's palace ministering to those that go there. Because you know what? God puts people everywhere, doesn't he? He does. And you know, it'd be just interesting for all of you to stand up sometime and just say where you work and where you move and what circles you're in. And just to hear and just think about the idea that in all those places, there's a representative of God Almighty, because we are ambassadors of Jesus Christ, aren't we? And God places us exactly where he wants us. And so he placed Paul in prison at the palace in Rome. And he actually found out that these things happened to him, put in that prison for the furtherance of the gospel. Because there was a prison guard chained to him. And they, what would they talk about, do you think? The Lord. And there were many of the Praetorian Guard, the elite guard of Caesar, that were saved, born again, and baptized with the Holy Ghost and moving in the Lord. And so Paul praises God, says, brothers, you know, don't be concerned for me in so many words. The things that have happened to me for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all of the places. And I want to add to you, verse chapter 4, verse 22, at the end of the book of Philippians. So just look at chapter 4, verse 22, as Paul ends his letter, and look at this. And wouldn't you know this would be true if the Apostle Paul's in prison in the palace. He says this, all the saints salute you, chiefly they that are of Caesar's household. Look at that, right there. The Lord maybe scratched his head and said, you know, how can I reach the family of Caesar? I know. Let's get Paul put in prison there. And man, people are saved going to heaven and thanking God through eternity for their salvation because God used Paul to come and just do that. And you know what? This is the way it is. Every generation is going to hear. It doesn't matter what laws are passed. It doesn't matter if they kick God out of school, which they did in 1960, and approved terrible things like abortion in 1972. It doesn't matter that they've done that, and they think they might stamp out God and stop God's ways. No way, no how are they ever going to do it. Every generation is going to know about him, and you and I are part of that army that lets people know and see the mighty hand of God and his work. You know, I think about The Passion of the Christ, the movie. You know, Hollywood's busy. They're busy little bees in Hollywood, making up all kinds of terrible things for you to watch on TV and in the movies. But all of a sudden, out of nowhere, God uses this absolute superstar to create this movie, The Passion of the Christ, and it just goes worldwide. It goes worldwide. And they were lining up in Jordan, lining up in Saudi Arabia to see this movie, The Passion of the Christ. And where just before The Passion of the Christ, they were having to sneak to watch a Jesus film inside of an apartment with one or two people with fear of being caught and killed. But they opened Mel Gibson's movie in the theaters. And people line up. And every single event or movie presentation is stacked full of people in the Arab world. And why was that? Because God allowed the little blurb to get out on the news and all the Arab nations that it was anti-Jewish. Oh man, it's against Jews. Let's go watch the movie. And so they go, yeah, we have missionaries. We have missionaries in the different countries, Jordan especially. And we heard at Jordan, one of those 10-screen complexes that they were lined up waiting to get into a show, and they were playing The Passion of the Christ in all 10 theaters. It was just incredible what God did. Only God can do that. But he laughs at these guys that are saying, well, they will never hear. We'll stomp out the Lord here, you know. You can't become a Christian. We'll kill you. But he just picks out a movie star and gets something going, and it was something. You know, it's just something the way the Lord works. I already told you about Shamu. I was so blessed with the Shamu thing. And maybe some of you haven't heard, Sherry and I took with James and Christy, we went with the grandkids, the twins, to Sea World. Yes, not Marineland. Marineland's gone. Sea World. And they had the whole stadium stand up and sing Joy to the World, because it was the Christmas Shamu party. And we all sang Joy to the World. I couldn't believe we were doing this. I thought they would change the words. They didn't. And when they got to Let Heaven and Nature Sing, all it was, how many whales was it? Was it just three whales? Oh, I thought it was 16 whales. Three whales. All at the, we always ask Sherry to get it right. Three whales at the same time jumped up, total body out of the water, to Let Heaven and Nature Sing. giving glory to Jesus Christ. And I'm going, Lord, you know, they can say no Jesus in public places all they want. But Shamu went and jumped right out of the water. And those people that arranged that. And when I came and shared that, and this is why I'm mostly sharing it right now, is because after I shared that experience, I can't remember when I did, I've been sharing it all the time, but people started coming out of the congregation, and maybe you experienced this. The Rose Parade with Stephanie Edwards this year, the redhead that's a Christian. She was talking about what church she goes to. She just got bold because she's just, you know, hey, I got a microphone here, and the Lord's coming soon. It's no time to be quiet about him. And you remember how they're trying to kick the Ten Commandments out of different courtrooms and stuff? No more. We don't want to see the Ten Commandments publicly. There was a float in the Rose Parade with a giant flower arrangement of the Ten Commandments. And Stephanie Edwards is going, oh, look at that. It's the Ten Commandments. I love the Lord. I go to so-and-so church, and God be glorified, you know. I mean, it was. And, it, you know, all these people are watching the Rose Parade and or watching Shamu jump. It's glorious. God's not going to be silenced. I don't care what they legislate. I don't care what they say or what they do. He will have his witness to every generation. And the victory's his now and forevermore. Amen? Amen. Should never let anybody intimidate you. And praise God for Stephanie Edwards. Go, girl, go. Yeah, I hope to see Shamu in heaven also, I'll tell you that right now. Well, one of my favorites, and I got to share this last one. This is a true story. There's a guy named Voltaire, famous French writer. And if you had to go to college or school or whatever, you know, most of us went to school, I think. But they'll ask you to read books by Voltaire. He's an atheist. And he said that he's going to stomp out Christianity. And they had all kinds of atheist marches in France. And they just thought they were going to get it done. And Voltaire, when he died, the account of that is scary. He died screaming and yelling, don't let me die, don't let me die. Probably having visions of where he was headed. But you know what happened afterwards? His home became the headquarters of the International Bible Society. Does God have a sense of humor? You know, you can yell and scream all you want. You can become a very famous writer and put your clout behind there's no God. Ain't gonna work. And the Lord just has his way. So let's go back to Psalm 72 and just read that again. And verse 5, and we'll go on. They shall fear you as long as the sun and the moon endure. Throughout all, A-double-L, all generations, there's going to be the people of God. And you know, the old secularists are just hoping like mad that this thing will just fade away. Oh, boy, do they have a rude awakening waiting for them, don't they? Let's go to verse 6. He shall come down like rain upon the mown grass, as showers that water the earth. Because when Jesus is around, there's living water, and he does water the earth. In his days shall the righteous flourish, an abundance of peace so long as the moon endures. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea, and from the river, that is Euphrates River, unto the ends of the earth. They that dwell in the wilderness shall bow before him, and his enemies shall lick the dust. You know, I saw that one when I was studying for this Bible study. I went, wow, Lord, that reminds me of Revelation chapter 3. And I want to show that scripture to you. His enemies shall lick the dust. Let's go to Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. Keep your hand in Psalm 72. Revelation chapter 3, verse 9. His enemies shall lick the dust. You know, this is one of those scriptures, and I don't know about you, but that I would read through and I'd go, you know, Lord, I really don't know quite what that means, but because you have it in your word, I know it's true. But Revelation chapter 3, verse 9, let's take a look at that. Now, this is the message that the Lord Jesus is giving to the Right On Church, the Church of Philadelphia, the Church of Brotherly Love, the Church that has believed on Him and not denied His name and kept His word and His promise that they will not go through the tribulation period. And that we sure enough do hope and pray that we are part of the Church of Philadelphia in great spirit. We're to pray always that we'll be counted worthy to escape the things that come upon the earth and stand before the Son of Man. And to be part of the Church of Philadelphia, that is so true. Let's see. Well, I'll just read the verse that about Philadelphia that refers to that since I mentioned it. Because you have kept the word of my patience, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. And that hour of temptation, talking about the great tribulation period, it'll try the whole world. It'll be a horrible time, 7-year period. But Jesus says, you know what? You, dear church, have kept the word of my patience, and so I'll keep you from the tribulation period, that great hour of temptation, which shall come to try all the world and to dwell them that dwell upon the earth. And so this is a great promise from the Lord, and we do get excited about that, that He will come as a thief in the night to some, but not to us, because we are children of the day and children of the light. And He has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtaining salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm just quoting scripture after scripture from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, and that's verse 9, where it says that God has not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we'll be snatched out of here, and then the tribulation period will start. So we keep the word of His patience. Well, what I wanted to get to is verse 9 of Revelation 3 that matches up with His enemies shall lick the dust. And that's the way it's written in all the translations I read today, except the Living. Of course, the Living is not a translation, but is a paraphrase of the King James. And so let's look at verse 9. It says, behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, people that say they're religious or whatever, but they're not really, but they do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. That's pretty heavy. The church, the Right On Church, the Lord is going to make those that are fake Christians and fake religions and workers of iniquity, that He will eventually say, depart from me, workers of iniquity, I never knew you. And He will make them to come and worship before our feet and to know that He has loved us if we're part of the Right On Church. And you know exactly what that means. I'm not sure. But if they come to worship at our feet, they're going to be licking the dust, just like it says back in Psalm 72. So I kind of put those together. Now, the thing about this is this, and the reason I share this is not to gloat over anyone or to get all uppity and prideful about this fact, however the Lord works this out. But this is the reason I share this. And the reason is this, that we should really feel sorry for those that would persecute us or belittle the Lord, say mean things about God, and really receive a greater spirit of evangelism. To say, you know what? I am not going to get mad at them, and I'm not going to lose my cool over them. I'm going to do like Jesus said, and I'm going to pray for my enemies, because one day they're going to be humbled at my feet if they don't get saved. And you can feel sorry for them for that, and pray for them that they will rather be a part of God's true believers and in God's kingdom, because it will happen. If God says it will happen, if they're going to lick the dust, they're going to lick the dust. If God says they're going to lick the dust, they're going to lick the dust. And if God says they're going to come and worship at your feet and know that He has loved us, that's going to happen. Exactly how, I'm not sure. Two things I know. There is a God, and I'm not Him. always like thinking about that one. But so I don't know how that's all going to happen, but it's going to happen because God says it is. And so you can really get a good perspective on the lost person, that we should look at them with compassion and with all that is within us to keep from retaliating against them, but to pray for them and by hook or by crook, get them into the kingdom of God before it's too late. And I always remember what one brother said to me years ago. He said, if we knew what hell was going to be about fully, we'd crawl naked on glass for a mile to see one person come to Jesus. That's kind of a graphic picture, you know, but it's just the truth of it. And so to be in prayer for loved ones, to be in prayer for those that are still running from God and allowing persecution toward you to enter their lives instead of just losing it against them, praying for them. Don't allow yourself to be abused. Walk away. It says, you know, the scripture says, if you go to a house and it doesn't receive you, let your peace return to you. Let your peace return to you, not wrath or vengeance. Let your peace return to you and move on. And so that's what we do, and that's what we're here for. And we keep our focus that these people are going to lick dust. And that's what the Bible says. And so we go back then to Psalm 72. This begins to talk about the gifts that nations and peoples will bring to the king. And of course, this happened with Solomon, the kings of Tarshish. Now, Tarshish, verse 10 of Psalm 72, is Spain or England. And so from Spain or England, one nation, and of the isles or the continents shall bring presents. The kings of Sheba. Now Sheba is South Arabia, which there's a little country in the south of Arabia, Saudi Arabia, it's called Yemen. And Yemen at this present time has been in the news. Maybe you've seen Yemen in the news, that it is a center of Al-Qaeda activity right now. Those that hate the United States of America and want to blow us up. And so that's happening in Sheba right now. And then it says, and Sheba, S-E-B-A, shall offer gifts. These are different nations that will eventually offer gifts to the Lord and become part of the world community that was worshiping Jesus Christ as their king. And so Tarshish, or England, or Spain, Sheba, South Arabia, or Yemen, and Sheba is North Africa. And, you know, one of the most famous churches in church history is Alexandria, which is in North Africa. And did you know that Ethiopia claims that they have the Ark of the Covenant? I don't know if you knew that. There's a really interesting piece on this on PBS, where the Ethiopians have a certain place that they say that inside that building, and it's guarded with guards, is the Ark of the Covenant, that Jeremiah brought the Ark of the Covenant to North Africa to protect it when, of course, they were, remember, they left the Holy Land in fear of Nebuchadnezzar and went to Egypt, the whole remnant. And Jeremiah went with them, the prophet. What's that? Went down the Nile, yeah. And so there's this whole theory. There's several theories about the Ark of the Covenant. One that is still under the Temple Mount. And there's been folks that have claimed to actually have seen it there, but we're not sure about the stories. And we're not sure about the stories in Ethiopia, but man, there's a bunch of Ethiopians that are convinced that the Ark of Covenant is with them. There was a great move of God in North Africa. And so all these nations are mentioned here in verse 10 as bringing gifts to the king. Now, I just wanted to look at some things on that. And of course, this came true with Solomon. This is a psalm again by King David, his father, at his coronation. Prophetic that all of these kingdoms would be bringing gifts to Solomon. And let's take a look at 1 Kings 4:21 on this. 1 Kings 4:21. And this will actually fit right in with Jesus, also our king. But let's take a look at 1 Kings 4:21. It says this, Solomon reigned over all kingdoms from the river, that's Euphrates River, that's important, the Euphrates River, unto the land of the Philistines, which is along the Gaza Strip, the Mediterranean Sea, and unto the border of Egypt. Egypt. They brought presents and served Solomon all the days of his life. Now, you remember that actually the wise men came from that area, from the east, when Jesus was born. And what did they bring? Gifts. Oh yeah, they brought him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And so we see this fulfilled with Solomon, we see it fulfilled with Jesus, coming from the river area, the Euphrates River area, where the palace of Babylon was, the first emperors that were there, and then Shushan, which was a little further east, which is in modern Iran, which is known as Persia. And so these guys being magi, with their great magi friend Daniel, the prophet, and actually getting the news of the star and from the Lord, and the writings of Daniel, putting two and two together, and came to see he that was born king of the Jews, as prophesied by the prophet Daniel, the magi. And they came, and they brought presents. And so this is fulfilled from Psalm 72 in Solomon and in Jesus. Now, that won't stop there, of course, because many nations will come and bring things to Jesus. You know, I wanted to read to you the Queen of Sheba. Sheba was just mentioned, wasn't it, in the prophetic word of Father David at the coronation, the beginning of the reign of Solomon. But what happens in Solomon's reign? Guess who shows up? The Queen of Sheba. And let's take a look at 1 Kings 10 on that. 1 Kings 10. You know, I'm just going to read quickly through this account in these nine verses about what happened with the Queen of Sheba. And just want you to let your imagination go wild about this whole scene. Just picture it in all that the best that Hollywood could ever put together with sets and special effects, okay? When the Queen of Sheba, which is the area of Yemen, south part of Arabia, heard of the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to prove him with hard questions, because she heard he was very wise. And she came to Jerusalem with a very great train, with camels that bore spices, and very much gold, and precious stones. And when she was come to Solomon, she communed with him of all that was in her heart. And Solomon told her all her questions. There was not anything hid from the king which he told her not. And when the Queen of Sheba had seen all of Solomon's wisdom, and the house that he had built, and the meat of his table, and the sitting of his servants, and the attendance of his ministers, and their apparel, and his cupbearers, and the ascent by which he went up into the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. She was blown away with this guy. And she said to the king, "It was a true report that I heard in my own land of your acts and of your wisdom. Howbeit, I believed not the words until I came, and my eyes have seen it, and behold, the half was not told to me. Your wisdom and your prosperity exceeds the fame which I heard. Happy are thy men, happy are these your servants, which stand continually before you and that hear your wisdom. Blessed be the Lord your God, which delights in you to set you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord loved Israel forever. Therefore made he you the king to do justice and judgment." Wow, what a scene. Man, if Hollywood did it right, it would be something to see. And the descriptions of all of Solomon's glory and wisdom and taking the breath right out of this queen that came to check it out. It is awesome. But my point is this. This is some kind of beautiful presentation we read in the Kings about Solomon. But let's see what Jesus says about this whole experience. And let's take a look at Matthew 12:42. And then we'd come back for one more point in Psalm 72. But Matthew 12:42. I know I'm asking you to look at a lot of verses tonight, but I wanted you to see these verses with your eyeballs and not just hear them with your ears. But let's take a look at Matthew 12:42. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 42. Jesus is speaking. If you have a red letter edition of the Bible, the words are in red because it's Jesus Christ talking. The queen of the south, or the queen of Sheba, shall rise up in the judgment with this generation and shall condemn it. For she came from the uttermost parts of the earth, southern part of Arabia, to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, a greater than Solomon is here. And now, in your imagination of what you imagined and saw and you read about Solomon, just multiply that. Just multiply it. And that's the glory and the honor and the beauty of our Savior. He is the King. He is the King of Kings. And He is the Lord of Lords. And talk about your breath being taken away. And just seeing Him and His glory and the entering in of His servants and His handmaidens and all that He has and all the glory that He possesses. He possesses all things. And He wants to share that with you and me. If we suffer with Him, we shall also reign with Him. It's mind-blowing. And one of the big reasons I believe that God put all the glory of Solomon in the Bible was to just give us a taste, multiplied by a million times, about the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And we will be blown away. Will I dance for you, Jesus? Just stand there with awe, fall on my face. We can only imagine. We can only imagine. It's awesome what's coming, brothers and sisters, for you and I that know Him and love Him. And the more that you stand strong in your spirit and your heart for Him, the gladder you're going to be to see Him. Because you know what? This world is not our home. We're just passing through. Yeah. Our home is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. And the angels beckon me from heaven's open doors. And I can't be at home in this world anymore. And you're going to see it with your own eyes. Job put it, I know that my Redeemer lives, and I shall stand with Him on that day when He comes to take us the way that He's going to take us. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Amen? Praise God. Let's go back. We'll just finish with one more thought. I still have 5 minutes, and so we're good. Let's go to Psalm 72. One more thought here. So glad I got a new watch for Christmas in my stocking. And I haven't been able to tell the time for a long time because the clock's been out in the prayer room. It's awful to not know what time it is in there. And then this clock stopped for a while. I had to put a new battery in it. Anyway, that's all stuff. It doesn't matter. So let's read here the rest of the chapter, verse 11. Yea, all kings shall fall down before Him. All nations shall serve Him. For He shall deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him that has no helper. He shall spare the poor and needy, and He shall save the souls of the needy. He shall redeem their soul from deceit and violence, and precious shall their blood be in His sight. Isn't that beautiful? Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. And He shall live, and to Him shall be given of the gold of Sheba. Prayer also shall be made for Him continually, and daily shall He be praised. Now this is switching between Solomon and Jesus, of course. prophetic words like a skipping stone, present and future. There shall be a handful of corn in the earth upon the top of the mountains. The fruit thereof shall shake like Lebanon, and they of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. All of nature crying out again is what we're reading here. The mountains and in the cities and the grass flourishing. His name shall endure forever. His name shall be continuing as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. The son of Jesse are ended. This ends the second book of the book of Psalms. There's five books. Book 3 begins in Psalm 73 with the Psalms of Asaph. This is the Psalm of David and the end of it. But I wanted to look at one verse particularly in the next 4 minutes here. His name shall endure forever, verse 17 again. His name shall be continued as long as the sun, and men shall be blessed in him. All nations shall call him blessed. Now, the Jewish folks, as Jesus Christ entered in to Jerusalem the first time, riding upon a colt, the second time he'll be coming on a mighty white steed that flies. That sounds really, really awesome. So cool that Jesus is going to be riding a flying horse. I like it. And that we'll be behind him on horses also. I like that too. But anyway, he came in and they said to him, Hosanna, Hosanna, which means save now or oh save. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And so all nations will one day say the same thing. All nations shall call him blessed. That's what we just read here. Now, the Pharisees got upset with that. And Jesus had to tell them. And he told them, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he that comes in the name of the Lord. And Luke has it this way. Blessed is the King. Blessed is our King who comes in the name of the Lord. Everyone, every nation on the earth is going to say that one day, along with Stephanie Edwards and along with the group that put the Shamu together and along with those that have kept his name and not denied his name and kept his word. Jesus, Jesus, our blessed Savior. And so we just want to end with saying this. We can do this now, and it is what we do now, and we need to become bolder with it all the time. Blessed be the King, Jesus Christ, who comes in the name of the Lord. Now let's just say that together. Blessed be the King, Jesus Christ, who comes in the name of the Lord. This is our cry, and this is our life until Jesus comes and takes us home. Amen? Hey, let's pray together. Father, we're so blessed with Psalm 72, Lord. It is wonderful. And Lord, none do wondrous works but you. And that's what we just read. And Lord, we do want to just continue to bless your holy, holy, wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, for a great Christmas season. Lord, for all of us that have been blessed with the news, the good news, coming from strange places and coming from the places we're used to at our lovely Calvary Chapel Anaheim and all places of worship that have lifted up your name this season. Oh, Lord, keep our hearts burning for you. Lord, bring your name to our lips in just a favorable, wonderful praise way, many a day, and Lord, perhaps and prayerfully every day. And we thank you, Father. We look for your return in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Stand together. So may the Lord bless you. May God just give you an extra special dose of boldness this week. Amen.
Amen.
God bless you guys.